Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org.
To you alone be all glory and honor and praise, God, in every part of our time together. In this time of looking at your word, God, be glorified. Bring glory to yourself. Allow your word to go forth like the sword that it is. Go deep to pierce. God, allow us to be transformed and to be doers of the word as well as hearers. You're beautiful and everything you do is beautiful. Last year as we came to Shavuot, many of us fasted and prayed during the week before Shavuot. And then joined together on the final day of Shavuot for a time of intercession. We were joining with our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem from Asher and Traders congregation. We were joining with them and we were interceding and we were saying, yes, once again, God, pour out your spirit. Let it happen in Jerusalem. Let them walk in signs and wonders again, God. Let your spirit go out among the faithful remnant there in Jerusalem. And we interceded on a variety of levels. We prayed for Jerusalem. We prayed for the Jewish people. We prayed for that congregation. We prayed for believers worldwide. We prayed that the faithful remnant would be expanded. It was a really beautiful and sweet time. Not the least of which because we broke our fast with blintzes. And that was really delicious. Which was really a very sweet thing. I'd like for us to intercede again. I believe that God's call for this message today is to intercede. And it's interesting, you know, as I was looking at the counting of the Omer, as I was looking at the counting of the Omer, it's this really beautiful commandment about really presenting first fruits to God. And I don't know what your life is like, but I feel too busy to intercede. And God is saying to you, your first fruits belong to Him. And He's saying it to me. You don't get to be too busy not to intercede. It occurs to me that the enemy's at work making us busy. Or at least giving us the perception that we are too busy. It's a lie. It's a lie. And so as I was looking at the counting of the Omer, the UMJC for years, some years now, has entered into the counting of the Omer together. We're part of the UMJC. That's our parent organization, the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, and they've been doing this counting of the Omer together. And each year there's these themes of intercession, ways that we can actually join together with all the others who are part of the faithful remnant, and Jew and Gentile together in our body, because there's these two loaves that are presented as an offering to God at the end of the counting of the Omer, which I think is beautiful. But we can join together and we can intercede. And as we join this week, it's really a beautiful week because what they're praying, the theme that they're praying within the UMJC is basically the ascent of the people, the going out of the people from the land of Egypt up to the mountain. And this week, they're praying the theme of that moment when God's glory comes in a pillar of fire to be with the people before they even cross the sea. And it's beautiful, you know, it's later that Moses says, you know, that this is the angel, this angel has God's name in him and is this fire that goes before at night and a cloud of smoke, a pillar of smoke by day. And we're joining them in our house of Jesus, our Beth Yeshua, we're joining them at this moment when Jesus, I believe, in his glory shows up to do battle and to intercede for the Jewish people. He stands between us and the armies of Egypt. Jesus in his glory and his fire as we read about in the book of Revelation, our Messiah is fire. And he protects us. He intercedes for us, and he's interceded for us so many times, even before he came and gave his life. He was interceding for us. And so it's beautiful. It's beautiful for us to join in this week because we're joining in the week where there's this opportunity. Week 2, April 2 through 8. They set out from Sukkot and camped at Etam at the edge of the wilderness. At Etam, the Israelites first encounter the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. Sukkot means leaving behind the familiar things we depend on for security. At Etam, we are about to enter the wilderness and we discover the true source of security, which is the presence of God Himself. God Himself is our foundation. That's the theme we're praying this week. Isn't that beautiful? And so I want to encourage you to grab one of these, and we're going to be praying these themes together. God has called us to intercession. He has called you to intercession. It is your first fruits. Your offerings to present yourself as a living sacrifice, for us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And so we don't get to be too busy. And so their recommended theme of prayer is that we would pray for a renewed sense of God's presence as a pillar and cloud of protection. We're in such a hurry, I even wanted to read the second half of the sentence, but we're going to read that again. We are going to pray for a renewed sense of God's presence. God's presence as a pillar and cloud of protection. God, we are done singing about you and toward you. We want to sing to you, to pray to you, to be intimate with you. We are asking for your presence to manifest in powerful ways throughout our community here at Beth Yeshua, throughout the communities of all the faithful remnant, every Jew that's in love with their Jewish Messiah. Let them experience your presence tangibly, God. Be thick in the room with us so that we would be undone, just like Isaiah. We would be undone before the presence of our holy God. Even as we sang today about your holiness, God, I feel like we didn't even get within 14,000 miles of your holiness, God, because if we did, we would fall on our faces before you. We would fall on our faces before you, and that's what we're asking for. We're asking for your tangible presence, God, for your reality to invade our communities. God, we are done with the works of man. We are done with the pursuit of our own forms and our own functions. We want yours. We want your presence. We want your guidance. We want you to be the pillar of fire. And when you move, we will move. We want you. We want you, God. We want you above every other thing. We pray on behalf of ourselves. And as the faithful remnant, we pray for all of our Jewish people, our brothers and sisters, God. And we pray that you would break through in their lives, God. We pray that the hardening would be done. We pray that whatever this fullness of the Gentiles is would be done, God. Let the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Let Israel be saved, God. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit in Israel, in every community, God, of the faithful remnant, in every community, whatever they look like, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to come and to move on them in power, and that they would have a presence of you, God, that would be so thick that as they invite people in, people would fall in love with you, the people would know you face to face, the people would see that you're not an abstract, faraway God, you're a God who is nearby. What is this nation that they would have a God that is so close to them? God, we pray for that once more, that that would be what the world would see when they would look at Israel, that they would see a nation that is so close to you that they would be jealous. What is this that their God is so close to them, that their God shows up in battle for them, that their God dances in their midst like a warrior, that their God is a covering and a fire over them? God, let it be. Let Israel come to be saved. And that you, God, would be glorified and you would cut like a knife, like a sword, through every kingdom of darkness, God. and that you would destroy every plan of the wicked one. We're praying freedom, freedom for all of our Jewish people that are on the edge of falling in love with you, and maybe they're counting the cost. We pray your love to invade them. Let your love invade them. Let your love overwhelm their hearts, God. Let them know how precious they are before you. We pray a holy boldness of fire to fall on the Jewish believers in the land of Israel, God. We pray for every believing community that they would be so bold for you that it would be shocking, that they would stand for you, Yeshua, that they would speak you boldly, that they would go forth and they would put their hands on people and the sick would be healed and demons would be driven out and captives would be set free and prostitutes would be rescued and children would be set free and victims would be covered and protected with your justice, God. Let you arise and let your enemies be scattered.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we pray that as a first fruits, we would be pleasing to you. We're a first fruits of the ingathering of all of the Jewish people. A first fruits even of the redemptive song in the book of Revelation of Jew along with every nation worshiping at the throne of the living God. We're a first fruits and we want to be pleasing to you. We want to be pleasing to you. We pray for our families, that your presence would be real. For all of us who love you and for those in our families who don't, that your presence would be real. They would know you as real. We love you. We love you. We love you and no other thing. So I was struck as I was reading through the instructions in Leviticus for the counting of the Omer. I was struck by how it parallels Yeshua's conversation with the religious leader that comes to him and says, "What's the most important commandment?" It's really a beautiful thing. Did you notice that tucked in right at the end of the counting of the Omer is the instruction for us not to harvest all the way to the edges of our field? This is loving our neighbor as ourselves. So this counting of the Omer is loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before him, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. For 7 weeks, this number of completion and perfection, for 7 weeks, that we would say to God, whatever you want, whatever you want, that we would present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Let's just read it together. Book of Leviticus, this is chapter 23, and then we'll read the book of Mark, chapter 12. And just see how it's echoed. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. Yeshua, the living word, and he just brings, you know, I mean, it's the Shema. It's what we know. We know the most important commandment. We say it every week. Yes. But it's just this beautiful echo in this sort of festival that's in between other festivals. And man, aren't you hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out like it was on that Shavuot such a long time ago? Aren't you hungry for that? Aren't you hungry that people would think that we were drunk because we're walking in the power of our God? We'd say, no, we haven't been drinking. It's only 11 o'clock. Let's tell you about God, the real God. Leviticus 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. We're presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before God. Have we prayed for fire to come upon us? Father, let your fire of your Holy Spirit come upon us. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, so this is a land festival. This is one for when there's the fullness of entering into the land. When you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. I think about that. I think about that generation that went into the land for the first time, and it says that the manna stopped, and so for the first time they had a Passover in which they ate off the land. They had a Passover that wasn't manna. They had a Passover in which they could follow this for the first time. For the first time after that first Passover in the land. The priest is to wave the sheaf before the Lord. So it will be accepted on your behalf. Intercession once again. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. There's some debate about which Sabbath, because there's all kinds of Sabbaths going on in Passover, right? There's like the first Sabbath, there's some Sabbath in the middle, and then there's the Sabbath at the end. And so this is why even still in the counting of the Omer, there's like two different calendars, you know, so like reasonable people can disagree, but you can still intercede. I don't really care which day of the Omer it is to you, but you could still pray, you can still intercede. We are a kingdom and priests before our God. Our job as the remnant is to intercede, is to present an offering to God, to wave it before Him. That's our job. If we don't do it, nobody else will. Because we are the faithful ones. We are the ones who know Him. We are the ones who understand and need to wave it before Him. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb, a year old without defect, together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah, of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made to the Lord by fire, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of a 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day you bring this offering. Offering to your God. He gets the first fruits. He doesn't get the leftovers. He gets the first fruits. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. So he knows, even though this is to be celebrated in the land, he knows already that we're going to blow it, that we're going to be scattered, that we will be on the other end of the earth, Sacramento. Literally, we are literally on the opposite end of the earth from where we're supposed to be. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath. And there's this sense of anticipation, which honestly you can see at the beginning of the book of Acts also, can't you? Because Yeshua has been with them for 40 days, 40 days of the counting of the Omer. And there's already this anticipation, this looking forward to Shavuot. And then Yeshua's with them on the mountain. He goes up into heaven and he says, wait. And they're already in anticipation and they just wait those last few days and boom, the power of the Holy Spirit falls on them in that place. Wow. Let's anticipate that we have a real living God and He will show up. And He will do His glorious works. If we anticipate, if we make ourselves ready, if we wait, if we count, I was reminded of how the fruit of the Spirit isn't all emotion, right? We've got patience, self-control, faithfulness. How do you gain this? We know from the book of James, we know this by faithfully remaining in hard circumstances. To faithfully remain. And so you could count for 49 days and you feel like God isn't doing anything. And then all of a sudden there you are at the mountain of the Lord. And he shows up in fire and the mountain vibrates. And he's so real that it's scary. And you want, like Moses, to go up. Right? Let's anticipate. Let's faithfully endure. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. Another offering, a second offering. From wherever you live, bring two loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour baked with yeast. This is not the bread of affliction. This is the bread of rejoicing in the fruit of the land. As we say every time we sing the Hamotzi, he is the bringer of bread from the earth. He alone feeds us. We may think that our corporate farm, you know, within the United States is what's feeding us. No. I love that passage in the Amidah where it reminds us that God alone allows the rain to come in its season. He alone brings forth bread from the earth. So this is a bread of rejoicing in the fact that we have zero control over whether or not we live or die. That we have zero control over this world. God alone provides food for us and gives us shelter. Oh, how terrifying and utterly freeing, as we spoke about last week, to really surrender to a living God. How utterly terrifying and how absolutely beautiful to give up all the striving of this stupid world. Oh my goodness, and to just say, whether I live or die, I'm yours. Wow. To present ourselves. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, this number of perfection and holiness, without a defect, 1 year old, 1 young bull, 2 rams. There will be a burnt offering to the Lord together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, an aroma made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And I think of the incense that's poured out mixed with the prayers of the saints in the book of Revelation. I think about the offering made by fire before God's throne. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 lambs, each 1 year old, so a cleansing, a purifying of the people for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord. What a messy job to be covered in the blood of the lamb and to wave it before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits, the cleansing, purity, and holiness of our Messiah. Let's rejoice in it. And let's rejoice in the fact that all he requires of us is all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of it is so simple, right? As C.S. Lewis would often say, is Christianity hard or easy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. They are to be a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. That idea of interceding again. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. When you reap the harvest. So, let's see, 9:21. 11 verses of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And lest we forget, a verse on loving our neighbor as ourself. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. There's no discussion. There's no argument. There's no negotiating. Remember and fear him who should be feared and obey him. Book of Mark. Chapter 12, verse 28. Mark 12:28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Yeshua had given them a good answer, he asked him, and this feels so different than the other questions. This doesn't feel like a trap. This feels like the real questioning of an open one, of an open heart. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Yeshua, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yeshua, I can't wait to see you. I want to see you. I want to love you face to face. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, but he didn't really add it, did he? Because it's all through the scriptures. Love those who are not loved. Love the rejects. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Anyways, our accounting of the Omer is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To bring him all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength first. First. He doesn't get the leftovers of our energy anymore. First. Thank you. And then what I'd love for us to do is get together on the last day and intercede together on that evening. Count the last day together. Pray together, rejoice together, present ourselves as an offering before him together. We're going to conclude our service with Kaddish. If you're remembering, actually, tomorrow evening begins the day of remembrance. So we're all going to remember. We're all going to stand together. I want to say that there is community events going on. And where was that one, Ruth? What synagogue is it at?
Yeah, tomorrow is Yom HaShoah. And the Jewish Federation is doing a commemorative service. I put a flyer over there for you if you want to take one home. And you can also check the Federation website. They have information on it, too. It's over at Congregation B'nai Israel. So.
And it's the remembrance of the Holocaust. Our God is outside of time. And so I pray and intercede and ask him to be merciful, to be merciful. We're going to stand together. We're going to say Kaddish. Page 28, 29. Who is like you, God? You will have mercy on who you will have mercy. And your ways are not our ways. But we ask for you to be merciful. For the sake of your own great name, be merciful. Yit kedal v'yit kedash shmei rabba v'ama divra kirute v'yamlik malkute v'chayekon uv'yomechon uv'chaye dekho beit Yisrael ba'agala bisman kri v'imru amen. Yehe shmei rabba mevarach le'olam l'amei v'maya Yit barak v'yishtabach v'yit ba'ar v'yit romam v'yit neseh v'yit chadar v'yit aleh v'yit halal shmei t'kudishah b'richu leila yichol birchata v'shirata tushbichata v'nechemata v'amiran ba'amra v'imru amen. Yehi shlama rabam min shemay v'chayim aleinu v'elko Yisrael Bimru, amen. Ose shalom bimruma. Hu ya ase shalom alein. Ho ko Yisrael. Bimru, amen.
Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org. Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org.